Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, October 8th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Motran to Seek Funding for Projects, by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Motran and Midland Development Corporation agreed Monday to extend their economic development agreement, designed to improve transportation infrastructure in the Permian Basin. Midland, Odessa, and neighboring communities need interstate connections, James Beecham, president of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance, told members of the MDC board at their monthly meeting Monday. That is why his agency focused this year on interstate development, he told board members. An Interstate 20 overpass at County Road 1250 has been completed, and there are new I-20 overpasses at Midkiff and at Cotton Flat, he added. When the Texas Department of Transportation held a public comment period on its transportation plans beginning next year, Beecham said Permian Basin regional projects garnered 875 comments, all in support of the various projects. Interestingly, he told board members, Motran gets a number of inquiries about direct flights out of Midland International Air and Spaceport. Following his presentation, board members approved a resolution authorizing an economic development agreement with Motran, agreeing to pay $142,500 to Motran to help with its efforts in securing funding to improve the region's infrastructure and to accommodate new development and economic diversification. In seeking to renew its agreement with the MDC, Motran proposed continuing its work on the Permian Basin Regional Freight Study to develop a list of energy sector projects for the area. Motran also proposed pursuing additional improvements along Loop 338 in Odessa, developing a connection of U.S. Highway 358 to Interstate 10, developing State Highway 349 south of Interstate 20 into a four-lane divided highway, working with Midland County on the South Midland Loop to facilitate future Interstate 14, capacity improvements to State Highway 191, and completion and extension of the Craddock Reliever Route west to Odessa and east to I-20, as well as efforts to develop Interstates 14 and 27. Board members also approved resolutions with Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for $12,000 to promote and publicize the City of Midland and MDC in efforts to develop new and expanded business enterprises. Executed a feasibility and access agreement with Space Nation regarding the company's facilities at 2908 Enterprise Lane. Amended an agreement with Castellian Corporation on a 125-acre tract of land, approved an $80,000 consultant services agreement with the Perryman Group to prepare and maintain an economic index for Midland and the Permian Basin, with the initial analysis and monthly updates over the period of October 2024 through September 2025. This article is entitled, City Council to Reconsider Cedric Benson Statue Proposal, by Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. A former Midland resident is making a second run at getting City Council's approval for erecting a bronze statue for a local football great. John White, who played on Lee High School football teams 11 and 12, is asking City Council to approve accepting a future donation of a life-size Cedric Benson statue to be housed at Astound Broadband Stadium. Benson is considered one of the greatest football players in Texas history. He led the Rebels to three consecutive state championships starting in 1998. The team notched a 43-3 record at that time, including a 25-game winning streak and a 15-0 finish in 1999. Benson recorded 8,418 career rushing yards, the third most in state history at the time of his graduation. The running back also notched 127 touchdowns, one short of the state record. He is the only high school player to ever grace the cover of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Preview magazine. He would go on to play at the University of Texas at Austin and in the NFL. White's proposal was presented at September's Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission meeting, according to agenda documents. The commission recommends creating a Walk of Honor that features outstanding athletes from Midland. It voted to recommend to council the approval of the Benson statue as the walk's first installation. This isn't the first time White has sought approval for a Benson statue at Astound. In November 2022, council members opted to put the item on hold, according to a previous Reporter-Telegram report. City Council will consider the request at its regular meeting at 10 a.m. Tuesday at City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. The item is on the consent agenda. This article is entitled, Cops Shoot Armed Man in Leg After He Refuses to Drop Gun, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Midland police have reported that a man is in custody after being in the middle of a roadway holding a gun. According to a city press release, MPD officers responded to a call at about 2 a.m. Monday after reports of a man walking around with a firearm in the vicinity of the intersection of La Mesa Road and Illinois Avenue. Upon arrival, officers encountered a shirtless male subject in the middle of the roadway, visibly holding a gun, MPD said in its report. Despite repeated commands from law enforcement to drop the weapon, the suspect refused to comply. In response to the escalating situation and the potential threat to public safety, an officer discharged a single round, striking the suspect in the leg. After the alleged suspect was injured, he received medical treatment and was taken into custody by the Midland Police Department. Due to the officer-involved shooting, the investigation into this incident is ongoing and is being conducted by the Texas Rangers. The Midland Police Department will provide further updates as more information becomes available. This article is entitled, Odessa Fundraiser Supports Family of Fallen Trooper, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. The Odessa Police Department has sent a reminder that tickets are being sold at the OPD front desk for the fundraiser of Texas Department of Public Safety Trooper Kevin Ramirez-Vasquez. All proceeds from the fundraiser will benefit the family of the deceased Trooper Ramirez-Vasquez. Vasquez was investigating a crash along State Highway 302 in Ector County on the morning of September 17th, when he was struck by a vehicle while outside his patrol vehicle. Vasquez was then transported to Medical Center Hospital in Odessa with critical injuries, and then airlifted to a hospital in Lubbock. He died September 28th after suffering injuries from the crash. The Odessa fundraiser is slated from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday in Barn A at the Ector County Coliseum. The effort to plan the fundraiser and collect donations is a community-wide collaboration. During the fundraiser, hamburger plates with chips, a cookie, and water will be for sale for $10 per plate. These funds will go immediately to Vasquez's family, Odessa Police Sergeant John Faust said during a previous interview with the Reporter-Telegram. This is to help them with any of the costs incurred already. This is a very traumatic event for the family. Additionally, the Texas DPS Officers Troopers Foundation has launched a Help a Hero fundraiser to support the Vasquez family. This article is entitled Planning and Zoning OK's Preliminary Plat for Costco by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. A month after receiving approval for its initial zoning request of RR Regional Retail, Costco Wholesale has received approval for the preliminary plat for its Midland location at State Highway 191 and State Highway 158. Planning and Zoning Commissioners unanimously approved the preliminary plat, which includes 22.119 acres and three lots, to be developed into a Costco retail store and fueling station. The property is in the process of being annexed into city limits, and annexation must be approved before the initial zoning can be approved. Approval of the preliminary plat is also subject to the final plat, including all plat comments, conditions, and requirements satisfied by all pertinent city departments. Costco, along with the City of Midland and Midland Development Corporation, announced the construction of a 174,000-square-foot facility on 18.69 acres of the site, including 1.01 acres as an outparcel for future parking. Construction is expected to begin no later than June 1, 2025, with completion no later than August 31, 2026. Commissioners also unanimously approved a request by Tall City Meat Market for a specific use designation, SUD, with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages sales for on-premises consumption. Tall City Meat Market, located at 2909 North Big Spring Street, does not currently serve alcohol. Proposed hours of operation are 8 a.m. to midnight, Monday through Saturday. Proposed hours of alcohol service are 10 a.m. to midnight, Monday through Saturday. City staff recommended approval of the request, requiring the alcohol serviceable area be limited to 3,012 square feet, and occupancy does not exceed the maximum determined by the building and fire code. This article is entitled Ski Skeller Sports Reopens in Midland by B. K. Richter, staff writer. For Ty Caffey and Philip Howard, the reopening of Ski Skeller Sports, 3327 West Wadley Avenue, was much needed for the Permian Basin. We are leasing the building from the previous owners of the company, and they allowed us to buy the name. So we are going to still operate as Ski Skeller Sports, said Caffey, a managing partner, during an interview with the Reporter Telegram. Caffey and Howard were familiar with the previous business owners, Scott and Gina Reagan, who decided to retire and move closer to their grandchildren. Their store, a beloved mom-and-pop shop, became one of Midland's go-to outlets, catering to outdoor sports for 54 years. Additionally, Howard operates another outdoor sports store based in Lubbock. With their familiarity of the business, Caffey and Howard decided to reopen Ski Skeller. Ski and snowboarding is our bread and butter, Caffey said. It's all go for winter. We have got a ton of stuff still coming in. We have got a lot of apparel and equipment out on the floor now, but this is going to be a process where we're not even going to think about spring and lifestyle stuff until all of our winter stuff is in. As of now, store staff is still stocking items, and the staff remains in training. However, the store is hiring employees with experience with skiing and snowboarding. Caffey said the difference between purchasing items online and purchasing an item in person is the customer service aspect. If you are looking to buy boots online, they are going to come in and they are probably not going to fit the way you want them to, he explained. We will measure your feet and determine what you need for the type of activity that you do. Kathy says customer service is not only essential for safety, but also for having a better ski experience overall. Anyone that buys equipment with us can expect that we are going to do all of your shop services, from waxing, tuning, base, repairing, anything of that nature, for free for the entire season, Kathy said. Another advantage that Kathy highlighted is having one's equipment before going to the ski lodge. It's ready when you take off and when you get there, so you are not waiting in line to rent or trying your boots on, he said. Plus, there's a lot of times that if you are renting on the mountain, they may only have a limited availability of what might fit your feet. Kathy said rental equipment operations will be up and running again by next year. Most likely, it will be the first of next year before we have the rentals in the building, he said. But we are not going to shut the door completely on being able to do it. Kathy said Skiskeller will cater to spring sports and water-based recreation when the winter season is over. We just want you to come see us, Kathy said. We have had a lot of people walk in and visited and met with us, then told us their stories of all the times that they have come to Skiskeller over the years. This is the Life Tributes column. Edward Ray Burroughs, July 16, 1946 to October 5, 2024. Edward Ray Burroughs, 78, of Midland, passed away Saturday, October 5th, surrounded by his family. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, October 9th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Edward Ray Burroughs was born July 16, 1946, in Artesia, New Mexico, to Helen Ray and Jack W. Burroughs. He was united in marriage to the love of his life, Donna, on October 12, 1990. He is survived by his loving wife, Donna Burroughs, two sons, Steve Quain and wife Julie of Midland, Warren Burroughs and wife Melissa of Borger, Texas, and daughter Pam White of Borger. He is also survived by 16 grandchildren and many adored great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Jack and Helen Burroughs, his brother Gary Burroughs, and two sisters, Jackie Morris and Barbie Wall. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Melinda Lee Cooper Day, May 19, 1958 to October 2, 2024. Melinda Lee Cooper Day passed away on Wednesday, October 2nd. She was born May 19, 1958 in Midland to Nelda Davis Cooper and John Cooper. She married her one true love, Greg Day, in Midland on July 12, 1980. Throughout their 44 years of marriage, they lived in Midland, Cody, Wyoming, Edmond, Oklahoma, and New Braunfels. They were blessed with three sons and two grandsons, whom she loved fiercely. Melinda was preceded in death by her parents and one son, John Cooper Day. She leaves behind her husband, Greg, son, Phil Day of Austin, son, Jeff Day, and daughter-in-law, Channel Day, and grandsons Graydon and Gavin Day of Casper, Wyoming, sister Cindy King and husband Wynn of Tinney, New Mexico, and her sweet doggy sidekick Bella. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, October 11th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at Ellis Funeral Home on Saturday, October 12th at 10 a.m., followed by a graveside committal at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Robert Ray Dodson, September 6, 1946 to October 1st, 2024. With great sadness, we announce the passing of Robert R. Bob Dodson of Liberty, Texas. Bob was born on September 6, 1946, in DeRuyter, Louisiana, and died on October 1, 2024, in Houston. He was the beloved husband of Kathy Ree Dodson of Liberty, father of daughter Kelly Dodson of Midland, and son Scott Dodson and his wife Amy of Fort Worth, and the grandfather of Ella Dodson of Fort Worth. He is also survived by a sister, Marion, and husband Pat Walsh of Friendswood, Texas, and a brother, Charles Dodson, and wife Lori of Conroe, Texas. A graveside service was held on Monday, October 7th at 2 p.m. at Palms Memorial Park in Dayton, Texas. For more information about the service and to read the full obituary, refer to www.allisonfuneralservice.com. William W. Smith, January 4, 1932 to October 2, 2024. William Bill Westbrook Smith, 92 of Midland, passed away October 2nd. A visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. on Wednesday, October 9th at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. He was born to Ray and Lois Spencer Smith in Oblong, Illinois, and moved to Robinson, Illinois in 1948. In Robinson, Illinois on October 4, 1958, he married Eleanor Slunaker of Robinson, Illinois, and they were parents of Elizabeth and Robert. He was preceded in death by his parents, Ray and Lois Spencer Smith. He is survived by his loving wife, Eleanor Slunaker Smith, daughter Elizabeth Ann Smith Lecta of Lafayette, Louisiana, son Robert Bob Smith of Austin, Texas, and brother Randall Smith Linda of Cicero, Indiana. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Philip Molina II, February 21, 1957 to September 29, 2024. Philip Molina II, 67, of Brady, Texas, passed away peacefully at his home on September 29th. He was preceded in death by his father, Sammy Molina, and his mother, Amelia Molina, née Jackson. Family was Philip's top priority. He is survived by his beloved wife of 37 years, Kathy Molina, née Ship, his daughter, Chelsea Molina, and her husband, Russell Martin, his son Colin Molina and his wife Jasmine Molina, his sister Mona Miller, his brother Sammy Molina, and two cherished grandchildren. In honoring his wishes for privacy, there will not be a memorial, but those that would like to pay their respects or share memories are welcome to send them to the family at pmolinamemories@gmail.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, October 8th. Football now available live. Although Ector County ISD has had mascot media apps for its Odessa and Permian High School games for several years, this is the first year they've had a full TV production for the games that can be watched from anywhere on any device on Friday nights. Executive Director of Athletics, Tracy Borchardt, said Trans Global Productions now provides video and commentary on your phone through the apps or your computer or other device. They had been compiling a packaged show to be broadcast on the weekend after the game was over. KWWT is where people could watch it. Chief Communication Officer Mike Atkins said you can listen to Permian High School games on Kix 99.1 FM and Odessa games on KMCM 97 Gold. What's really fun from my standpoint is it's available in so many ways to people. There's nothing like the game experience at Ratliff Stadium, Atkins said. But if you can't be there, you can listen to the game on the radio at home or away. Now you have the option, if you have the app, anywhere you are. You can listen to the radio broadcast for either team, or you can watch the game home broadcast from Ratliff Stadium, Atkins said. Borchardt said she can be at a football game at Ratliff Stadium and watch an OHS or PHS home volleyball game, for example, through one of the apps at the same time. There is also a computer in the press box running one of the games as well, so at any time they could be watching three games. On Friday nights, they have an average of 900 students participating, either in band, cheer, flag corps, and or flag football players. This Friday, with the OHS Permian football game set for 7:30 p.m. at Ratliff Stadium, there will be even more students involved, not to mention the fans. We are looking to put 18,000 to 20,000 in the stadium. It'll be one of the largest games in Texas, Borchardt said. The game is part of the Great American Rivalry Series. Our two teams made it into the selection of teams, and so we are going to be giving two $250 scholarships to the highest GPA senior on the OHS team and the highest GPA senior on the Permian team through this organization as well. Anytime you can get recognized across the state, we're pretty excited about it, Borchardt said. Here's what's really cool. I can be at the stadium. I know I can get football on my phone if I want, or I can also go to my Permian or my Bronco app. I can hit it and pull it up. If I have OHS or Permian volleyball games at home, I can pull up the volleyball game. I can watch the volleyball game because I have my huddle camera there. It's really good with the jumbo screen and the replays and the hype videos. And now the LED lights that can change colors and flash on and off. There is a halftime show, but it's not the band due to copyright concerns for the music, but they are trying to get clearance. Her vision is to have the career and technical education students provide a lot of the pieces that go into the radio streaming and the filming of the broadcasts of the game. Borchardt would also like to have students doing the interviews. We would love to have the kids involved in every aspect of it, Atkins said. Bob Bailey at Trans Global Productions has been putting together a package game to be shown on the weekend. For a long time under university interscholastic league rules, you couldn't show video feed on a Friday night, Chief Communications Officer Mike Atkins said. It wasn't until COVID that UIL started changing the rules, Borchardt said. The pandemic limited the number of people who could be at Ratliff Stadium, Atkins said. Borchardt said there are a lot of moving parts to this. Trans Global Productions actually does the production part for a varsity football game. Our huddle camera takes care of all the other games, she added. The huddle camera is a single camera mounted at a venue that allows the whole volleyball court, for example, to be streamed, Atkins said. There's no commentary, but you can watch it from anywhere, he added. You can find the game, and on game day, you'll see a red-orange camera, and all you do is hit the camera, and it will take you to the game. Or you'll see a set of headphones, and the headphones are the radio stations, Borchardt said. She added that the streaming really helped people during COVID who didn't want to get out or were afraid to get out. The ECISD YouTube page also shows the games after the fact. What we've got going right now with the radio stations and Trans Global Productions is just a great relationship with everyone due to the fact that they're really doing a great job of taking care of us and making it happen, Borchardt said. I can't say thank you enough because it's a lot of moving parts that you don't realize, and all those guys just get it done for me. It's great, Borchardt said. The broadcasts don't cost the district anything because there are sponsors for television, radio, and mascot media. One of the sponsors for Mascot Media has been Odessa College, tying the community back together, Borchard said. Woman accused of attacking boyfriend. An Odessa woman wanted in connection with an April bar fight was arrested Saturday after her boyfriend told police she assaulted him. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call from the 300 block of Panhandle, and when they arrived, a 27-year-old man told them his live-in girlfriend, Jessica Benavides, 25, became angry with him and struck him in the face and head with a Dove can. The man said when he pushed Benavides away, she hit him on the back of the head as he tried to protect his head with his hands, the report stated. Benavides told officers her boyfriend punched her in the face, the report stated. According to the report, officers couldn't find any injuries on Benavides, but they saw several cuts on her boyfriend's left hand and cuts that were bleeding on the back of his head. Officers also learned Benavides had an outstanding warrant from an April incident in which she is accused of throwing a glass bottle at a woman and hitting a 26-year-old man in the face instead at Lux Lounge, an OPD report stated. The man required 4 stitches, the report stated. Benavides was booked into the Ector County Jail on the outstanding warrant and suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She was released Monday after posting surety bonds totaling $27,500. Fundraiser set for Trooper. There will be a fundraiser for Trooper Kevin Ramirez Vasquez's family presented by PPOA of Odessa from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. October 10th at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn A. For $10, you can enjoy a delicious burger, chips, a cookie, and a water bottle. All proceeds will benefit Trooper Kevin Ramirez Vasquez's family. Pre-orders only, fun activities for the kids. For more information and to place your order, contact Sergeant John Faust or Officer Bailey Thurman at 432-230-4068. Donations are appreciated. Tickets will also be sold at the Odessa Police Department front desk. NewTek Odessa earns recognition from College Board. For the second consecutive year, George H.W. Bush NewTek Odessa has earned a placement on the College Board's AP School Honor Roll. The AP School Honor Roll recognizes schools whose Advanced Placement AP program is delivering results for students while broadening access. The AP School Honor Roll recognizes a commitment to increasing college-going culture, providing opportunities for students to earn college credit, and maximizing college readiness. NTO is a bronze member of the Honor Roll due to having 86% of seniors who took at least one AP exam during high school, 25% of seniors scoring a 3 or higher on at least one AP exam, and 5% of seniors who took 5 or more AP exams. NTO is being further recognized with the AP Access Award with honors schools that encourage more low-income and underrepresented minority students to take AP courses. The percentage of students taking AP exams are underrepresented minorities and or low-income student mirrors the school's overall school demographics. For example, if 50% of a school student body is low-income, then 50% of the AP exam takers must also be low-income for a school to receive the AP Access Award. It takes a school-wide effort to make AP Access a priority, NTO Principal Abel Avila said in a news release. I am grateful for and inspired by the dedicated teachers, counselors, administrators, students, and teachers here at NewTek Odessa. Research shows students who take AP courses and exams are more likely to attend college and graduate on time. And even for those who don't earn college credit, advanced coursework provides early exposure to college-level work and contributes to a college-going school culture. Police: wrong hotel key leads to theft. An Odessa woman was arrested Saturday after police said she stole multiple items from an MCM Grand guest after mistakenly being given her room key. According to Odessa Police Department reports, the guest told officers she checked into room 322 at the hotel around 11 p.m. October 4th, unpacked and left for about 45 minutes before returning. When she returned to the room, she discovered a $1,300 Apple MacBook Air 15 laptop missing, along with a fanny pack containing $300, credit cards, and a Social Security check for $1,639, a report stated. She was also missing Apple AirPods, a hair straightener, and a bottle of perfume. The woman told officers when she told hotel employees they informed her they'd given another guest, Vanessa Marie Chavana, 36, of Odessa, a key to her room accidentally. According to a report, when an officer went to Chavana's room, room 332, at 6:20 a.m. Saturday, Chavana began to search through her room and a syringe containing heroin fell to the floor and she was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance. One of the police reports indicated items from Chavana's room were taken to the front office of the hotel and the victim found her AirPods, hair straightener, and perfume. An officer looked through Chavana's property at the jail and found a debit card belonging to the alleged victim, the report stated. According to one of the reports, Chavana admitted to stealing the debit card, AirPods, hair straightener, and $100 cash from the room. She also told officers she used the cash to buy drugs and food and gas for a friend. She denied taking the fanny pack and claimed not to have seen a laptop in the room, one of the reports stated. Chavana was booked into the Ector County Jail on the drug charge, suspicion of burglary of a habitation, and two failure to appear in court warrants. She's being held on surety bonds totaling $45,000. ECISD police look for innovative ways to attract officers. To attract and retain more officers and promote more community engagement, the Ector County ISD Police Department is working on several initiatives, from horses to motorcycles. Horses, of which they currently have one, is a community engagement project, and motorcycles are less expensive than cruisers. In 2022, the department had 26 officers, and now they have 53. There is a state mandate to have an officer at every campus. We are trying to develop a pipeline within our schools to connect our officers with our youth and also bring attention to our animal program at the Ag Farm that will tie more kids into the program as well and engage officers in our community together out in the public, Chief Jeff Daniels said. Animals are a great way to do that. They are used all over the nation. It also helps with recruitment for the department. ECISD Police Sergeant Melissa Butts offered the police proposal. She said she would purchase the horse and keep it at her home as her own, furnish the feed, and pay the veterinarian bills, Daniels said. She's a great hire. She's been here for several years. She came from the Odessa Police Department. Big in community engagement, sees the benefit of how it's going to connect our officers and kids. She purchased the horse on her own to bring it here just to get the program started. So it's cost us nothing at this point, Daniels added. The horses, which have drummed up a lot of interest, will be used at community events, football games, graduations, and other occasions. Officers need to come to police departments that offer more than just their jobs. Police departments around the nation are shorthanded. We are all fighting for the same people, so as a school district, we've got to come up with inventive ways to recruit people and maintain people. If we're one-dimensional, we're going to fail. We're not going to be able to maintain, Daniels said. Officers will go where they have better or more opportunities, although the hours are often better than city departments, Daniels said. The ECISD police don't pay as well as larger departments. That's why you come up with these programs. We have Honor Guard, a team of officers that dress up in their Class A uniforms and represent the departments at things such as funerals and dignitary events. These things give the officers a little bit more to do than their regular job. It gives them some ownership of the department. It's a great recruitment tool. So as an agency, if we're going to succeed, we've got to be able to compete with programs like that. They'll allow us to compete, Daniel said. He added that they want to hire the best applicants they can. Motorcycles are a great way to save money. Daniel said you can get two motorcycles for the price of one car. A motorcycle costs about $30,000 and a cruiser $75,000 to $80,000. Motorcycles equipped for police officers are already being made. We used to have them in our area for years, and they did away with them, so we're looking at bringing them back, Daniel said. He acknowledged that an officer did die on a motorcycle, but the same thing happens in vehicles. There are downsides to everything, but there are also upsides. If it generates interest in our department, then it's something we really need to consider, especially if it's a cost-saving interest, Daniels said. He said they are in the process of looking at motorcycles. We've got to reach out to some more vendors and see what their cost is. We want to get the best vehicle for the best price, Daniels added. The department has had an emergency response since 2001. It was established after the Columbine High School shooting. They have had various iterations of SWAT teams where officers become part of the Odessa Police Department SWAT team, for example. We've always had that in place. We're just trying to revamp it and get some more officers on it and get them trained to those standards, he said. If there is a situation like Uvalde, they will be the first ones there, so they need to be trained, equipped, and have the know-how to handle the situation, Daniel said. We are doing all we can to meet this government mandate of arming our campuses with the best practice possible, but that's putting a police officer out there. We're doing, in my opinion, a great job. We have 9 positions left. We put in for federal grants to help pay for those positions. We're waiting on the word from the grant system to see if we've been awarded. If we've been awarded, then we'll move forward and it'll take up, I think, 75% of those officer salaries for 3 years for the last 9 positions, Daniels said. If not, the district has said they are going to provide police officers to the campuses depending on availability. Whether they get the grants or not, they plan to hire the officers. Daniel said they are already getting inquiries about positions. The department also has received a grant to build a video wall at the police department that will help provide live intelligence to officers out in the field. This grant is going to give us the capacity to staff positions that are needed for the department's growth because of the sheer number of officers we've added that are going to be able to watch our campuses live, Daniel said. The screens will be monitored by civilians at the police department in real time. The system we're building here is a wall of monitors. They're going to be big monitors that have all the little cameras broken up on them. They'll have a main screen they can watch and drag if they want to pull it in something at Crockett onto the main one that they think it's something is going on. They can see it there, he said. Nimitz incident. A threat from a 7th grader that turned out to be a hoax put Nimitz Middle School under lockdown for a little more than 30 minutes September 13th. The hoax was met with swift law enforcement response in a large number, as well as dozens of parents parking up and down JBS Parkway and running toward the school prior to the news it was a hoax. The student faced a felony charge to make a false report for creating a hoax about a shooter inside the school. It was an opportunist, and that person's been arrested and being dealt with through the criminal system and also through the administrative system of the school district, he added. There are also outside threats through social media that the district has seen recently. We investigate every single one depending on the information we receive about the threat. It just depends on how many times it's been shared, where it was posted. We work closely with state and federal agencies that have divisions that are capable of investigating these online threats. We work closely with them to get them the information, to get them as much of the stuff that's being passed around as possible, and see if their analysts can trace it back to the original poster. Sometimes they're able to, and sometimes it's just been shared too many times. It's a screenshot of a screenshot of a screenshot of a screenshot, and we're not able to do anything with that. That's why we ask the public not to share these things. That as soon as it's seen, it's reported, because that really helps our chance of finding out who is responsible for creating that threat. UTPB announces a partnership with Athletic Solutions. The University of Texas Permian Basin on Monday announced a partnership with Athletic Solutions. The UTPB Falcons site will offer fans a new shopping experience. This one-stop shop will offer sports-specific products for every sport at UTPB and NIL products for participating student athletes. We are excited to partner with Athletic Solutions to provide our student athletes with an incredible opportunity to expand their personal brands and connect with our fan base in new ways. Scott Larson, Vice President for Athletics at UTPB, said in a news release, "This platform not only enhances the experience for our student athletes by allowing them to monetize their name, image, and likeness, but it also strengthens the bond between our student athletes and supporters. It's a win-win. Powered by Athletic Solutions, the UTPB NIL store gives student athletes the opportunity to open and promote their own personalized online store. Fans will be able to browse and purchase these items and directly support their favorite Falcon athletes. With every purchase, UTPB Falcon athletes receive direct payments from the sale of their merchandise. The UTPB NIL store will offer more than 150 different styles, including headwear, tees, fleece, and accessories from various brands in the collegiate space, all with the specific student athlete's name, image, and likeness represented. The offerings of colors, styles, and graphics are also unlimited. To visit the University of Texas Permian Basin NIL shop, log on to https://utpb.athsolutions.shop/. If you are a student athlete at UTPB, you can sign up there. OHSC to host Angelversary in honor of Hunter Miller. Odessa Housing Finance Corporation, 3801 North Dixie Boulevard, will host a 10-year Angelversary event from 3 to 5 p.m. Wednesday, October 9th, in remembrance of Hunter Miller, who passed away in a car accident in 2014 in which he was a passenger. They will be presenting a mural designed to his mother, Jill Miller, which will be displayed on the side of their office building. Jill Miller is the executive director of Odessa Housing Finance and has been a valuable member of this community for many years. They will speak of the danger of reckless driving and will have information about organ donation. They hope to have a representative from the Donate Life organization present. Odessan accused of beating, choking ex-girlfriend. An Odessa man with a protective order is accused of beating and choking the woman who took the order out against him. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call around 9 p.m. Thursday from the 400 block of Elliott Avenue. When officers arrived, a 21-year-old woman told them her former boyfriend, Eddie Dean Calicut Foster, 21, forced his way into her apartment, punched her several times, choked her to the point where she couldn't breathe, chased her out of the apartment and then back in, and slammed her into the apartment door, the report stated. Officers learned the woman had taken out a protective order against Calicut Foster that was due to expire on Sunday, the report stated. Calicut Foster was arrested on suspicion of the first-degree felony of a burglary of a habitation with intentions to commit another felony and violation of a protective order. Calicut Foster, who was arrested September 27th on suspicion of public intoxication, was booked into the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $65,000. Two Permian boys accused of rape. Two Permian high school students were arrested Friday after two 15-year-old girls accused them of rape. According to Odessa Police Department reports, the girls separately told forensic interviewers they left school with two unknown boys September 25th and went to a home on West 31st Street where they began to drink alcohol. One of the girls said a boy who introduced himself as Jacob followed her into the bathroom, pulled down her pants and underwear while she was vomiting, and sexually assaulted her, the report stated. She later positively identified the boy as Jacob Alkarim Espinoza, the report stated. The other girl said that while they were all drinking, the boy who introduced himself as Jaron tried to force himself on her and she had to fight him off, the report stated. At some point, the girl said she blacked out due to the alcohol, and the next day she realized she was missing a pair of underwear, the report stated. A forensic medical exam confirmed she had suffered recent trauma. The girl identified Adrian Rodriguez as Jaron, and both girls identified Rodriguez and Espinoza as the boys they left school with, the report stated. Rodriguez and Espinoza were arrested on warrants for sexual assault of a child, second-degree felonies. Rodriguez was released from the Ector County Jail Sunday after posting a $35,000 surety bond. Espinoza remained in custody Monday night. His bond was also set at $35,000.
This is the Dear Abby column. Things don't add up in year-long romance. Dear Abby, a year ago, I met a wonderful man on a cruise. We hit it off fabulously, and since we live 1,000 miles apart, we stay in touch primarily by phone, talking, and video chatting. He has come to visit me 4 times in the past year, and we have taken 2 trips together. He has met my friends and neighbors and has spoken to my family on the phone. They live in a different state than I do. He says he loves me and that I'm the woman he's looked for his entire life. The problem is, I have never been invited to visit him. When I asked why, he told me his daughters, who are in their 20s and live at home, as well as his siblings, are opposed to him dating and want him to reunite with his ex. He has been divorced for 3 years. That is concerning enough, but I have never spoken to any of his friends on the phone either. Something smells fishy. It feels like either I'm nothing more than a side piece, or perhaps he's ashamed of me and doesn't want me to meet or talk to anyone he knows. Or maybe he's not divorced at all. I don't want to waste precious time on something that isn't going to go anywhere. Are my expectations too great, or am I an idiot for allowing this to go on as long as I have? Signed, Feeling Foolish in Florida. Dear Feeling Foolish, I don't blame you for being concerned. If, after a year of being courted, you still haven't been introduced to this wonderful man's friends or family, something doesn't add up. Either the man is spineless, or he hasn't been upfront with you about his circumstances. If you can't convince him to stand up for himself and make clear to his relatives that he has moved on from his divorce, and you can control your emotions, pay him a surprise visit. If he has been stringing you along, he deserves to be outed. Dear Abby, I grew up poor. Because of that, I spoiled my daughter rotten. I gave her everything, but it has backfired. When she turned 16, my husband and I brought her a brand new $70,000 BMW. I told him I didn't want my daughter to be without anything like I was. She didn't want the $70,000 BMW, she wanted the $100,000 one. My husband said it was beyond his budget. When my daughter received her car, she wasn't happy. She kicked the car and dented it because it wasn't the one she wanted. My husband took it to a body shop and paid to have it fixed. She says that when it gets out of the body shop, she's going to kick it again, and then it will be even worse. I know what you think I should do, but if I take it away and disown her, she will drop out of college and her life will be ruined. I know that I'm 100% in the wrong. I just need help, and hopefully you will have an answer that is different than everyone else's. Please help me with another suggestion. Signed, At My Wit's End. Dear At Wit's End, gladly. When your ungrateful daughter again damages the car you so generously gave her, do not fix it. Instead, let her drive it as is, and let her experience the consequences of what she has done. If you do, you will be giving her a gift far more valuable than the price of the vehicle. Better late than never. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.